Chapter 4.
The meeting was to take place a dozen kilometres outside of Hive Geron's walls. The Imperials had set up a temporary landing pad in a hole they'd carved in that awful forest. The trees had been cut back for a good 300 metres, the red earth scraped raw by a heavy excavator. Our pilot took us through the canopy into the darkness beneath the trees. I couldn't see out of the transport, but I felt the shadow close over me. There was a real presence down there, a menace that had the hairs on the back of my neck stand on end. The Tau were unaffected, although I saw Crix's quill shift. The faces of Kroot are hard, most of them taken up by a mouth that's more akin to a beak than anything else. Their flesh is thin, little musculature under it. To we Guervesa, your average earth cast is inexpressive, but they've got nothing on the Kroot. It's like their faces are cast in stone. I could still tell that he felt the wrongness of Mugalath Bay too. The devilfish touched down so softly that we couldn't tell we'd landed until Corla the Yanoi Yelfir, the air cast up front, flicked the signal and the landing lights went from amber to green.
"Well now," said
Skilltalker, patting his knees with his hands twice and hitching up his robes in preparation to stand.
"We have arrived, and our task is at hand. Let us see if we cannot save a few lives here. Guevesevre, if you would be so kind,"
he said to me. I had the squad sound off that they were set. They were. Their affirmatives and yes, sirs, told me far less than the air of wary readiness that came over them. They were a good La Rua, and I was very proud of them. We'd adopted a synthesis of Imperial Guard and Firecast teachings, and I'd been gratified to see that it worked. With them behind me, and equipped with superior Earthcast weaponry, I often felt that we could take on the entire Imperium on our own. And we all had reasons to want to. I was wrong about our effectiveness, of course, and even my team's cohesion. You drill and drill and concentrate on one thing so hard, you miss what's right in front of you. We have a word for it in Gothic. Hubris. I was relatively well educated for an Imperial, I must add here. You won't find this level of talk right across society, as I'm sure you've noticed by now in your dealings with other Gwela. Skilltalker was fascinated by the concept. Apparently there is no word for it in the modern Tau language. Although, one day, he did come up to me hurriedly, a look of delight on his face, to say he'd found an ancient term from the time of the Mont Ka that had an approximate meaning. In all honesty, I'd advise you reacquaint yourselves with it. The rear ramp opened. There wasn't even a hiss. The internal air pressure had automatically and soundlessly matched that of outside. I don't think I'll ever be able to take Tau Tech for granted. We went out. I took point. Hollyan behind me. He might have been a liar, but you could rely on him in a fight. We had to be prepared for battle despite the terms of truce we were meeting under. If we were attacked, it wouldn't be the first time the water cast had been targeted. The clearing was muddy. Broken tree stumps all around it. Roots still clogged with the heavy red soil of a ghrelin, bright scars in them leaking pale sap. A plasteel mesh had been laid down over the ground in the centre of the clearing, although it was far from level. Beacons blinked around the makeshift pad, the light coming off them making it hard to see under the trees. And that made me nervous. The trees of a ghrelin are brittle. They snap so easily. The wood feels dead. Their skins are slimy. Leaves black, like they are in the grip of decay. But they were alive somehow. I don't know how something so sickly-looking can grow into a forest. I didn't like the place, and I'm extremely grateful I've not been stationed there. Yeah, I'd appreciate it if you didn't send me back. A pathway of more mesh led off from the pad to the lip of a slope. From up there, we had a fine view of Hive Cheron. Big as a mountain, as hives are. The lower reaches must have been 100 kilometres in diameter. levels heaped upon level, reaching high up into the atmosphere so the top of it was lost in the yellow clouds. We were a ways out, but from the landing zone the walls looked huge. It was getting late in the afternoon, not yet evening, but the shadows were lengthening, and that of Charon lay like a slab of night on the haunted forest. The walls of Charon were white, blinding up close, but through the haze of pollution in the air they were coloured a gentle shade of apricot by the sun. 1,000 metres tall, their length broken by bastions topped with macro cannon. A 16-lane highway, the pen line on a cloth compared to the bulk of the hive, went through a gate almost directly opposite us. But the gates were closed and the road empty. They were ready for war. It was all a little unreal, too big to be taken in and understood by the human mind. Like the Imperium itself, I suppose. The sunlight was broken by the haze, made dim, so that the hive looked like a painted backdrop. Only the lights on the evening side of it and the movements of flyers around the upper reaches told me it was not. I'll bet my last pulse round that the landing site had been chosen so that we'd be intimidated by the size of the hive. It didn't work. I still don't quite grasp how blind my erstwhile countrymen can be. Earthcast weapons would have the walls down in half an hour or less. Boo clacked his tongue behind me in disapproval. He was wearing a respirator, as was the poor El. We all had our helmet seals engaged. There was something foul in the atmosphere.
How they live in such things? It is unsafe, unsanitary, unsupportable. And this air?
I motioned him to silence. Someone's coming. Up the path hacked into the forest, a welcome party came. A functionary come to greet us, a squad of guardsmen behind him. He wore heavy robes that looked like they'd not been washed for a while. If they could be, they were so stiff with brocade, I doubt they'd survive any form of cleaning. Half his head was taken up by a lumpen cogitator and an ugly bionic eye. Not an adeptus mechanicus, as far as I could tell, but extensively modified anyhow. It was possible his own respirator was built into his face. They came close, the guardsmen faceless behind their respirators, marching in perfect step.
I am Plenipotentiary Carillon. On behalf of the Lord Grunkle of Hive Charon, I greet you in the spirit of peace, he said, touching a seal of office hanging around his chest. He spoke very loudly and slowly from behind his breathing apparatus.
He was looking me up and down suspiciously, no doubt taking in my feet, the five fingers on my gloved hands, my height. I decided to put him out of his misery. As the routine we developed with Skilled Talker dictated, I slung my carbine and unfastened my helmet, revealing my human face to them all. I had a smaller respirator on underneath, simply so I could pull this trick. Like I say, it's all carefully thought out. Carillon managed to keep his reaction to a narrowing of his remaining eye. The guardsmen with him were not so careful. Shocked intakes of breath and muttered curses came from them. I'm sure they'd all heard of the traitors who'd thrown in their lot with the Xenos, but there aren't that many of us in the Tau Shazvar as yet, and they probably thought of us as a myth. Carillon held up his hand to silence them.
Gwe Vesa Vre Jathan Calling. Gwe Vesa Auxiliary Diplomatic Protection La Rua 8448, I said.
I held Carillon's eye. If Carillon was going to say anything, he never got the chance, because then Skilltalker made his entrance. Followed by Crix, he walked down the ramp of the Devilfish and into that sorry excuse for a landing zone. He was looking around with eyes wide and welcoming, as if he were drinking in every sight he could, and that each was a fresh wonder. They're childlike, the Porla, at least in that regard. Appear childlike, I should say. Like everything they do and have us do, it's all calculated to bring about a particular reaction. I stood aside and replaced my helmet. The air was making my eyes water. Skilltalker came to the fore. We all stood to attention, carbines held vertically in front of us. Another calculated show, this one to demonstrate our loyalty. I wasn't too worried. Korla, the Anoi Yalfir would be on high alert in the Devilfish, and the drones housed on the front of the craft were always vigilant. Skilltalker crossed his hands in front of his chest and bowed.
Many thanks to you for our cordial reception, Plenipotentiary Carillon. I am Emissary Por El Bork and Kais Por Noa, although I am more commonly referred to as Skilltalker.
Skilltalker ignored Carillon's derisory snort at his name. To humans, the names of Tau can seem to be unduly immodest, although this mystifies most Tau I know. Why would a Tau have a name that bragged of something that were not true? Well, fine, I say, but often for us it's regarded as impolite to make a big deal about things we're good at least in some human cultures. Mine is one of those. We are a more subtle and diverse species than most of you give us credit for. And on Gorman's Fast, we don't like braggarts.
I bring your greetings from the Tau. We are five castes, one people. We offer you peace.
Carillon shook his head ever so slightly, a sour look on his face, the mix of contempt and foreknowledge of his defeat, I think.
This way, Emissary Skilltalker. His augmetic ground out an unlovely recitation of Skilltalker's full Tau name for him. Lord Grunkle awaits you.
We were led down the path, around a curve, to a large, hermetically sealed pavilion, fronted by an ostentatious airlock. One of Carillon's guards activated the airlock, and I, Crix, Boo, and Skilltalker went inside. I voxed the squad to hang back by the entrance. Watch them, I said, confident that there was no way the Imperium could crack Tau encryption. I don't like this. The whole thing stinks of ambush.
Wouldn't be the first time, Jathred Vray, said Goliath.
We've got your back, said Hollyon.
For once I believed him. The outer door shut. Air was pumped out, then back in. The inner door opened. The exercise was accompanied by a cacophony of whirring, banging, clanging and whining. I saw just how primitive our technology is, how ramshackle. I can't believe I used to take things like that to be normal. We stepped out. The floor was covered in carpet, showing already wet patches from damp trapped inside the tent. The fabric of the habitat was beaded with condensation. The place was luxurious, but grimy. A long wooden table ran the width of the tent. Two guards in scarlet dress uniforms, crested golden helmets and respirators, stood to attention behind it, flanking a fat man in a similar outfit who sat in a ridiculously overly ornamented chair. He had a face like thunder, and a mouth full of food. Many dishes were laid in front of him. The whole meeting, his fork never stopped moving. His head was bald and beaded with sweat, his eyes sunk in folds of flesh. A thin moustache and tiny triangular beard clung to his flabby face.
Ah, Lord Grunkle, said
Skilltalker, pressing his hands together and speaking with unalloyed delight.
Such a great pleasure to meet you face to face. I am Emissary Por El Bork and Kais Por Noa. I bring you greetings from the Tau. We are five castes, one people, and I am here with full authority to invite you to lay down your arms and join with us. We offer a bright future for all who side with us, a new way of life. We have much to offer a faithful friend. All are bound to the dream of bringing a new and better way to the universe. All are working to the greater good. I hope you will choose to share the culture, technology, and protection of the Tau Empire, as your kind here with me today already have.
Grunkle grunted and glared at me.
I've heard your standard offer before, as I have heard of these traitors. I am sure if I were to ask him that he'd tell me how wonderful it is to live with stinking Xenos and spit on the law of the Emperor. I'm not so naive to believe that he could possibly be either entirely honest or not coerced. I'm not interested.
He wiped his mouth and hands on a napkin, then stood and gestured at the chairs.
Nevertheless, I invite you to please sit. I dislike aliens, but I'm not a barbarian. This meeting was called under fair terms, and I intend to uphold them. I offer you what little luxury we have. The blockade has been hard on my people.
Grunkle's fat belly and the small fortune's worth of off-world delicacies led me to believe he was suffering far less than his subjects. Always the way.
Most unfortunate. I am sorry for the miseries of your people, said Skilltalker.
And damn it, he meant it. Not that Grunkle believed him.
A chair was pulled out for the Tau by a liveried servant, and he sat gracefully. Watercast are taller than fire warriors, something else that often proves a surprise to us.
We have many supplies of a high grade. Upon your surrender, they will be immediately dispatched to your city, along with aid teams and marshalling officers. All of them are fully briefed and ready to aid your government in providing for the new citizens of the Tau Va.
What's that? Commonwealth or something?
Grunkle poured a generous measure of wine into a glass and handed it to Skilltalker. He wouldn't have known that alcohol has no effect and less appeal for the Tau. He also wouldn't know that the Watercast's bodies, thanks to the efforts of the Earthcast, are mostly inured to poisons. Skilltalker drank the wine. No doubt it tasted vile to him, but he smiled with appreciation.
Empire, more like, said Grunkle.
He reached for a roll of bread and broke it in two, stuffing one piece into his mouth. He spoke as he chewed and waved the other half at Skilltalker.
You come here, bring in traitors, hoping to show me how safe and fine life is under the Tau. Do you take me for a simpleton? I am not fooled.
They are not traitors, said Skilltalker. Not traitors to civilization and peace. You may ask Gwe Vesavre Jeten Colin whatever you will. The presence of my protection team here vouches for the honesty of the greater good. They are my guard. They accompany me everywhere. Their weapons are at my back every day and every night. They could, if they so chose, end my existence at a whim. But they do not. They work for the greater good, as do I. They serve me willingly, and I, for my part, serve them willingly, by serving the greater ideal of the greater good. This is what Tau Va means.
Grunkle sat back with a sigh, pushing out his belly. I'm glad I had my omi on. The smell of non-Tau Va humans gets to me now. Tau are fastidiously clean creatures, although they smell strange to me still. Humans can be, but in places like Agrellon, where everything is in short supply, including water, hygiene's not a priority, even in the moneyed classes. In short, Grunkle reeked of sweat, of unwashed clothes, but most of all, of privilege built on the suffering of others.
I've heard such offers all before at one time or another. Not always in the same pretty words and not always together. We're isolated out here. The Imperium's eye is elsewhere. It's up to men like me to make sure that the rule of the Emperor does not falter. But it does.
He glanced at me.
Pirates, renegades, Xenos. The Damocles Gulf is a playground for them all. We have to fend for ourselves, make sure the light of the Emperor and the Imperium does not fail. Tell me, Tau, how are you different to the Hrud? Your kind will infest our world as surely as they would. And what makes you different to the orcs? Your threats are more coy than theirs, but I hear them all the same. And your weaponry, as has been pointed out to me by other emissaries like yourself, is far better than that carried by the greenskins.
He leaned forward with a grunt. With a gut like that, he must have been in constant discomfort. He picked up more food, some kind of stringy meat, and dipped it into a pot of sauce.
You offer us nothing but slavery. Hidden behind the words of friendship,
he said, before taking a bite of the meat. Sauce dribbled into his beard. Skilltalker was dismayed.
No, none are slaves. We all work together for the greater good.
Do you know your kind? How large the Imperium is? Do you?
Grunkle smiled nastily.
I'm sure treacherous men like your J-thing here has filled you in. The Imperium of Man is the largest empire in the cosmos. It stretches from one side of the galaxy to the other. Your little commonwealth, no matter how dynamic it feels itself to be, runs up only against the bulwarks of the Imperium. We here beside the Gulf. And although you may breach the walls in one place, you cannot hope to take the fortress. Once you have drawn the attention of the High Lords of Terra, my alien friend, then your kind will regret its arrogance shortly before it ceases to exist altogether. If you sincerely believe in your messages of cohabitation and peace, and I'm not convinced at all by those, then in the same spirit I offer you some sage advice of my own. Withdraw back over the Damocles Gulf. Fortify your frontier and pray that the Imperium deems you too little of a threat to bother crushing. Because crushed you will be, no matter your technology, no matter your self-belief. You goad a giant and wake it at your peril.
Yeah, quite a speech, I thought. Skilltalker's expression was open and sympathetic.
Oh, great lord of the Imperium, thank you for your advice, but I fear it cannot and will not be acted upon. That is not our destiny. Our destiny is to carry the message of the greater good to all and bring peace to the galaxy.
Grunkle twisted his lips and shook his head in disbelief.
You believe yourself so superior, and heretical as it might be to say so, you might be right. I've seen your technology, but you are few, and we are many.
And you cannot see that your time has passed, countered Skilltalker. Here, let us show you some of the technical and social benefits we can offer you, as equals, all working together as one.
He waved Boo forward, but Grunkle scowled at him. Boo came to the table only to stop before setting his demonstration unit down. As far as I could tell, he was hurt by the rejection. But they're stoic, the Earthcast. Annoyingly stoic.
I'm not interested. You can take your impure alien junk and shove it into whatever passes for an elementary exit in your species.
Charming, I thought. And this is the upper level of a Grellan society. Skilltalker looked glum, although the manner of expression made it abundantly clear that it was sorrow he felt for Grunkle, not himself.
As stars are born, burn bright and then decay, so do empires. Do you think that your species has a monopoly on power? Archaeologists of our earth and water castes have discovered evidence of lost civilizations that predate both of ours by tens of millions of years.
He held out his hands, as if he would wring a drop of reason from this rock of imperial rectitude.
Why, yours is not even the first empire of mankind. Our contact with worlds you have forgotten about tells us that. I assure you, it will be the last. Your people will live on within our commonwealth, whether or not you yourself live to see it. And I rejoice that it is so, for genocide is shameful and unnecessary. Would that we could welcome you all into our fold without bloodshed. If you fear the retribution of your kind, do not. Work with us. The more of you that do, the less power the tyranny of your masters will hold over you. Be safe. Be free.
Free? Snorted Grunkle. Freedom's a dangerous myth. I say again, I've heard all this before, Skilltalker. You think that your army waiting out there,
he gestured upwards,
makes me more inclined to take your duplicitous offer or less. You underestimate us if you think we shall all be so easily intimidated. There were water cast here before the last attempt you people made to take our worlds. I've seen your broadcasts, read your propaganda.
He looked directly at me as he continued to speak.
All very marvellous. But better, I say. Better the righteous rule of the Emperor of Mankind. Better the chains of honest servitude than an alien boot on the neck in a false equality.
He threw down his meat,
leaned back, sighed, and laced his fingers over his gut again. I'm sure you will be very disappointed, Zenos, but this is my answer. There will be no surrender of Hive Charon.
Skilltalker nodded, understanding and disappointment artfully expressed by his remarkable face.
I understand. I thank you for this meeting.
He stood and bowed, hands crossed across his chest in the Tau way.
If you should survive the attentions of our hunter, Cardus, I hope we may meet again, and that your opinion will have changed.
With that, he headed for the airlock. Crix followed, turning to and fro, alert for any sign of ambush. Boo and I followed.
Wait,
called Grunkle. Skilltalker stopped.
I have a question for your human slave.
Jeten?
Asked Skilltalker. I turned. Go ahead, Grunkle. Not using his title pleased me greatly. It didn't faze him. I reckon he was a kind of pragmatist, Grunkle. He was no coward either. I feel for men like him. Sure, he was a pig of a man, a tyrant, but the system he existed in demanded he be one. He knew he stood a good chance of dying. What could he do? He was playing the odds. A pity for him that he laid down the wrong hand on the table.
Tell me, Jeten, if that is your name, is it truly as he says? Is it better for you as a slave of theirs, or as a subject of the Empress?
I regarded him through my helmet vision system for a moment. It put distance between us, that technological interface. Looking at him that way made him seem disconnected from my life. Ridiculous, even. All that made my time before the Tau'var seem almost impossible. I almost believed it had been some kind of nightmare. Almost.
What do you think?
I said to Grunkle. I then spoke to Skilltalker. I advise us to depart now, Portel. Skilltalker hesitated. He was such a professional, making it clear to Grunkle that he was considering my words. I was no lackey.
Very well, Wei Vesavre. I concur. Farewell, Lord Grunkle.
We left the tent. The last time I'd done something like this, I'd been on the other side, back when I was still Jathan Calling, and I was a captain in the Gorman's Fast Planetary Defence Force. I knew as soon as the Tau came in greater force that time, I might add, our watercast visitor lacked Skilltalker's flair for humility, that we were outgunned. We could all see it, all except Colonel Artrus. Looking back at our audience with Grunkle, maybe he saw it too. Maybe he was just too proud to accept it. It's no easy thing to accept that your time is done. Grunkle was more of a pragmatist than Artrus, but not as much as one as Boroth. We roll our dice and take our choices. I made mine. Grunkle made his. I'm alive, and Grunkle's dead. What does that tell you? Evening was coming on outside. The Hive's upper levels, jutting so far above the curve of Agrelax, still glowed amber, but the walls were grey with shade, and the forest floor already lost to night. They're up to something, I signal the squad. Hinks, Athelia, take point. Goliath, Helena, close in on the poor El. Julion, stick by me. Might be worth getting Corla Dianoi, Yell Fear, to fire up the drones. Boo grabbed my sleeve, his other arm cradling his ignored tech demonstrator.
We wait here. No go. Poor El thinks we'd be safe.
Well, that's not his job, it's mine. He's too invested in ideas of honour and mutual gain to see how devious these swine can be, I said. I don't like it. Something's up. We rounded the corner into the landing glade. Corla Dianoi Yelfir had been hauled from his cockpit, struggling to stand on legs suited to zero-G. Men stood around, their weapons pointed. Oh, no, I said. They've gone and done it. This was no fear for myself speaking, you understand. I knew what was going to happen. My guts clenched. these men were all going to die.
Drop your weapons! Stand down! You are to be taken prisoner!
Their officer shouted.
Oh, the damned idiots,
I heard Helena whisper. Don't do this, I said, switching my helmet to broadcast. Stand down. We are a diplomatic mission with full immunity as agreed before the meeting.
There can be no consideration for Xenos scum and traitors. How marvelous can this greater good be? You have fallen into a trap.
With a half platoon of lasguns trained on me, I let my weapon fall. My squad followed suit. I would not be party to gunning down men I would have once fought alongside. And this was small consolation. No, my friend, I said softly. You have triggered one yourself. This is the way it goes. Once weapons are raised and threats offered, everyone gets a chance to surrender. The poor El turned to me. Now was the time. They might take it better from me. Now, for the love of the Emperor, lay down your arms. The guardsman laughed.
You have no love for the Emperor, traitor.
They moved forward to arrest us, but never made it. Fire came hissing out of the trees, the gentle burr of sound suppressed burst cannons. It was so quiet that the guardsmen only realized they were under fire when three men exploded into hunks of flesh. An instant of shocked silence, and then the clearing erupted into pandemonium. Men threw themselves in all directions, too busy trying to save their own skins to open fire on us. One of the devilfish's drones popped out of its housing and rushed towards Skilltalker, encasing him in a glowing sheath of energy. The guardsmen had been instructed to bring him down, it seemed, for large amounts of weapons fire came his way, but he stood there impassively, protected by the superior technology of the greater good. When they realized what was happening, they turned their guns on us, shooting Hinks dead out of spite. Cricks went into them, moving so fast that the first three men he killed didn't even register his presence. He screeched fearsomely, and the remaining guardsmen ran from him, right at the stealth teams, hidden in the fringes of the forest.
Stop! Stop enough! Cease firing! Let them be!
Ordered the poor El. The stealth team's blood was up, and it took a repeat of Skilltalker's order before the shooting stopped. Bodies lay everywhere around the clearing. Guard came running up the path to be met by our raised weapons. The stealth teams emerged behind them, their shapes visible as a glimmer on the air. This time, when asked to drop their weapons, they complied.
Such a waste. Such a waste,
said Skilltalker softly. He walked around looking at the carnage, still protected by the shield drone. Crix was looking at the bodies longingly, but he wouldn't eat, not in the presence of the Tau. Boo helped Korla Dianoi Yelfir back into his pod, as he was practically helpless at this level of gravity. My men surrounded the guardsmen, bunching them up in front of the devilfish. One of the stealth teams headed off to the tent. There was a brief round of gunfire, and then they came back, their bulky forms behind Grunkle and more guardsmen. All told, we'd taken about 30 prisoners. What shall we do with them? I said.
Leave them, said Skilltalker. This is a diplomatic meeting, and I will abide by the laws of it, even if they do not.
They'll only fight O'Shasera, I said.
Then they will die, but that is their choice. It will not be mine. Destroy their weapons.
My remaining men got on with that while the stealth teams watched the prisoners. I looked at the smoking corpses, checking them for signs of life. Skilltalker saw a waste. I saw idiocy. Grunkle was standing in the flood of the tide and denying his feet were wet. And that was the real shame of it. Times are changing. Most of my kind just don't know it yet. Stupid, I said to Grunkle. He stared back. Hands clasped behind his head, in the same boat as his men for once. He was a cold-eyed horse, and that's for sure.
Not stupid, said Skilltalker,
talking more to Grunkle than to me.
This is an act of defiance, a petty act. Now look, your men are dead, and for what?
You brought men too, said Grunkle, somewhat petulantly, I thought.
Skilltalker smiled sadly. Only because the perfidy of your kind is well known. I thank destiny not all of you are the same. Our offer still stands. Please reconsider. I wish to see you working with us, together, and not dead in this manner. It is a waste.
Go to hell, Zenos! Grunkle snarled through his respirator. I'd rather die.
Skilltalker's smile faded. I'm very much afraid that you will, much to my eternal regret. Skilltalker turned and went back into the devilfish. We retrieved Hinx's body. We stood warily, our guns on the guardsmen as we waited for the engines to spool up. You could see that a lot of the guard there were considering Skilltalker's offer, but we couldn't take them. Boo went into the craft. We followed, guns up all the way. The door shut on the faces of those who had thought that they were going to die. Their relief was easily apparent. Skilltalker showed mercy and artful diplomacy in releasing the men. For what little good it did them. If their leaders did not surrender, they'd only die tomorrow or the day after. The devilfish took off, carrying us back to our ship to take us back to the fleet. Back on the ground, the stealth teams would be vanishing in front of the Imperials, going back to hide in the jungle to wait for O'Shasera's attack to come over the following days. Grunkle should have surrendered.